With the view from her Jerusalem window, here's Andrea Simontov.
Hi, good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. We are being schooled here this afternoon on the overdrive.
We are indeed.
Our listeners, they're telling us about...
Yeah, well, Hamor is a regular. He was tough last week.
He was indeed. But I tell you what, we are both looking forward to speaking to you today because neither of us know very much, if anything, about SIGD.
Right, SIGD, you said it properly. I was saying it wrong for years. I was saying SIG, because I'm from New York.
Guys, you're American. It's okay. Yeah. We understand this.
Coffee.
But it was fascinating. And you know what? Okay, so now I have a confession to make. I lie each week. You say, what's going on outside of my window? What's going on outside my window generally is like an occasional garbage pickup and not much. However, no joke, I live in South Jerusalem and outside of my window, a little to the left, but all day yesterday outside of my window was SIGD. And that is the Ethiopian, ironically, how timely, the Ethiopian on one foot, let me just say, it's a celebration of Thanksgiving, gratitude. It, you know, jived very, very well with my radio show this morning on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Anyway, subtle. And you had to see, like, over the years, it just grows and grows. Yesterday, they said there were minimally 10,000 people on the Tayelet, on the promenade that overlooks the Temple Mount, the old city. And it was fantastic. So I felt obligated to kind of know that it's not an Ethiopian Mamuna the way the Moroccans do, or it's not Woodstock. It's actually a religious holiday. You didn't know about this?
No.
Very little.
It's staggering. So it's a religious holiday. 10,000 people came yesterday. And I mean, the streets are like totally, I had to go to the doctor. Forget it. Canceled that appointment. Okay, I just stayed home. It was like easy to die. So it was incredible. And what it is, it's 50 days after Yom Kippur. It's sort of like the closing. You know how Ashkenazim, there's like all these days after Yom Kippur that the gates are still kind of ajar.
Sure.
And so this is the Ethiopian version of it, and it was just fascinating. A lot of prayers, a lot of singing. It was elegance. If I tell you they came from every corner of the country, and of course a lot of, you know, politicians came, photo ops. But anyway, if people want to know the Ethiopian Aliyah, I didn't know this. I mean, ever since I'm living in Israel, Ethiopians have been here. You know, I took it for granted. But I didn't know that until 1984, there were only 250 Ethiopian Jews living in Israel. And they were brought here on several operations, but one was called, if you want to know, Operation Moses and Operation Solomon, that actually brought in more than 14,000. And their story is harrowing. It's a modern day, you know, we think about how for years we yearned for Zion, and here these people, they're the embodiment of a miracle that actually came true. And there was something I wanted to share. There are a lot of things I wanted to share with you, but it's incredible. Today they came with like no exposure to the modern world. And today there's not a facet of Israeli society that Ethiopians are not prevalent, you know, and represented. You had to see the soldiers. Oh, they were so gorgeous, especially the girls. They're just so adorable. And with the, let's see, what else did I want to share with you? It was a riot. You couldn't get anywhere. And very, very, very exciting.
Well, they're integrating.
And one more thing. I just want to share one thing, because Simon, you have often, you know, spoken about, you speak about our history. And for a long time, people didn't know the kind of horrors that these Ethiopians endured in one trek. About 400 of them in one small period of time, 400 died in the Sudan walking. Can you imagine walking from Ethiopia? And the kids are growing up, and just like the Holocaust survivors who couldn't talk about it for many years, psychotherapists are coming in, all kinds of social workers, and the parents and the kids are starting to talk about what they endured, what they dreamed of, and the way we say Hashanah Haba Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem, this is included in their prayers because it's just part of their tefillot. And it's just incredible. Yes, sorry. Go ahead, babe.
Can I just also say something? I think what's also incredible, Andrea, is that the Ethiopian, I think there were, wasn't it also Operation Magic Carpet?
No, that was the Yemeni Jews.
Was that the Yemen? Yes. That was
Yemen. No, that was Yemenite.
Yeah, that was Yemen. So, is that when they got to Israel, they didn't know that the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, had been destroyed.
And that's right.
Israel had to bring in social workers
to deal with the trauma.
Come and counsel them. And because they kept saying, we want to go to the temple. They did not know. They had been so isolated as a community. They did not know that the second Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed.
Destroyed.
Can you imagine the communal trauma?
I know that we're running out of time. When you talk about their isolation, it was actually a self-imposed isolation because they needed to live near water. They needed to live near places where they could observe and keep alive a Yiddishkeit that we could only imagine, that we really take for granted. These people are really, they're absolutely a link to who we were and who we really can be. It's such an honor. And I have to tell you, I even took Sigd for granted. Like, oh, here it is once again, the Ethiopian Woodstock. And I was truly, truly humbled this year. These are really holy people. And,
100%.
Very absorbed into our incredible society here.
So sincere and genuine. I mean, I love the Ethiopian people in general, but the Israeli Ethiopians are just incredible. Incredible human beings. Anyway, Andrea, that is where we say Shabbat Shalom. We wish you a Chodesh Tov. And
Amen, Amen.
We will speak to you next week. God bless.
Looking forward. Okay. Shabbat Shalom, friends.
Shalom.
Bye-bye.
That's Andrea Simontov. She is a personality. She's a talk show host. And, yeah, we speak to her every Friday, every Thursday, a.k.a. Friday.
Last year, I accused her of being my very favorite Likudnik. Did she laugh?
Really?
Why?
She
laughed. She took it in the way it
was
intended.
What does a very favorite Likudnik mean?
It means she's my favorite right winger.
How do you know she's right wing?
Oh my goodness. Ask her. She's unashamedly extreme.
Extreme?
I think so.
Are you like middle of the road, Sam?
I think I'm very middle
okay,
of the
I'm
road.
Okay, I'm just, hashtag I'm asking for a friend. I just want to know what extreme means. You know?
But isn't that the point, is that we can still have the conversation, and that's why I love talking to her so much.
Okay, it's 5:00. Should we do some news? Mm-hmm. Let's hear from Zanati, otherwise she's going to be very upset with us.